Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 16th, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing very good. Sweet 16 day. 16-16.
We should have a party. We should have candles.
Yeah. I got that one, actually.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, also awesome. We have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And I think it's totally appropriate that they are our sponsor this week because this is Worldwide Developer Conference Week. And Atlassian makes tools that are really handy for developers. So they have products like Bitbucket, and that's a utility that lets developers keep track of all the code segments that they're working on. And so they can manage all that code. They can do testing and code reviewing, and it's all just nicely handled right inside Bitbucket. And you can use that with other developers. So if you have a team working on a project, you have a way for everyone to work on the code and make sure the right people have the right pieces of code checked out at the right time, and no one's overwriting each other's code, and there will not be sadness, wailing, or gnashing of teeth. It's a beautiful thing. And I just think it's really great that they are sponsoring us, because a lot of people don't realize that some of the tools that they're using on a daily basis in their business actually came from Atlassian. So what you can do is go check them out at their website, atlassian.com, atlassian.com, and see which tools they have that are going to make your collaborated projects go so much smoother, and then maybe even be surprised to see that something you were using actually came from them. Okay, so Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
All right, now, John, the reason that I wanted to have you on the show today, and also decided to have just you on the show with me, was because I figured we could kind of focus on one aspect of developer conference this year, and that would be the things we're learning about what Apple is doing to enhance security moving forward. So when we get into macOS Sierra, we're going to be seeing some changes. Some of those changes the average user may not notice, but developers will know they're there, and then other things will be more noticeable to end users, and that's okay too, because we are going to end up with an operating system that is much more secure on many levels than what we have today. And so, since you've been doing some digging into this, I figured you could start filling us in on what's going on.
Well, there's a couple things here. I've been digging into security more and more. We are well aware of the events with Apple dispute with the FBI in February, March, and April. Mm-hmm. Apple has had a great focus on iOS security as a result. But because of the legacy and the design of macOS X and then OS X and then now macOS, there are some things that need to be attended to. Security has been folded in over the years, but it's been built in really well with a good security architecture. But I think it's probably on Apple's mind more than ever now that despite the fact that over the years they've added better security features to OS X, things like Keychain and File Vault and Gatekeeper and XProtect and things like that, that it's really time to double down and start treating Macintosh security at the same energy and level as they've been working with iOS. iOS is new compared. It's only 10 years old instead of 16, and so we're 9 years old. And so Apple had a chance to really think about security in iOS, and in some of the, and then one of the WWDC sessions I watched, they talked about how there's been no large scale attack successful on iOS. The decisions that Apple made in the migration from OS X over to iOS have made iOS very, very secure. And because it's a closed system, you know, you don't see the file system, and there's some things that Apple does internally in terms of certificates and a secure boot process and the way they sandbox and all the things that they do. People are very comfortable with the security of iOS, whereas because OS X, now Mac OS, has had its legacy roots back to 1980s in BSD, Unix, and because of the nature of the development of software over the years, Apple hasn't had the chance to go back, you know, and completely rethink the security of Mac OS. And I think that that's sort of seeping into the mentality and my perception in some of the things that Apple's doing. And I think the first phase of that transition is the new file system that we'll see next year, not in Mac OS Sierra, so but Apple file system.
Yeah, APFS?
APFS. It can't be AFS because I think there's already an AFS in the file system world, I think. So they did APFS. And APFS does a lot of technical and geeky stuff. And in the article I wrote yesterday, I provided some links to some good articles, including mine, so to speak.
You write good articles, so well done.
Some ones from Tim Hutchinson and Steve Sandy that are really good articles about the technical nature. And one of the things that APFS does is it lays a file system foundation for great security. And my hunch is that there will be some leverages off of that security architecture in APFS. Excuse me. I need some water.
That's all right. So while you try and get over the hairball that stuck in your throat, I'll point out one of the things that I'm looking forward to in APFS when we finally get to start really using it is that encryption becomes the default. So right now OS X El Capitan,
actually you have some options.
Oh, you do.
You don't. It's not going to be forced on you. Like if you want to do a external drive or a flash drive in APFS, there's an option for no encryption. Hand off to somebody else who, you know, you don't want to have an encrypted flash drive. You want to give it to somebody. But it'll be so easy that I suspect that what Apple will do is strongly encourage people to, and it may even be the default on your boot drive. I think that's a good bet that APFS encryption will be turned on all Macs that ship with APFS, perhaps starting in 2017. But if you want to use Disk Utility to format, say, an external drive or for some other purpose other than backups, which should probably be encrypted too, or you want to format a flash drive, you'll have at least an option to leave the encryption off. But you'll have to know what you're doing and take action to not encrypt as opposed to take action to encrypt.
I like that. I like the idea of encryption being the norm and you have to opt out.
Yeah.
Because so many people just really don't get the value of encryption. And it's not because they're not capable of understanding. It's that it's not something that's presented to them in a way that makes it clear this is really important. So for the average user, they have all kinds of personal data that is potentially at risk that wouldn't be if the hard drive in their Mac was as the standard, simply encrypted.
I think we're setting the stage here in 2016 with all the focus on privacy and security in 2016 that has come to the front in the news. I think it sets the stage for Apple to be able to do things like this in Mac OS starting in 2016 and 17. One of the things we'll see in 2016 in Mac OS Sierra is a very slight change to Gatekeeper. Apple doesn't call it out in the preferences, but if you go to System Preferences, Security and Privacy, and then the General tab, at the bottom you'll see some options for how you can install software. It's not labeled Gatekeeper, which annoys me no end, but whatever. And there's three buttons, and one says options for installing software from the Mac App Store, and then option two is for Mac App Store or developers.
Yeah, trusted developers.
Right, and then three is anywhere. And in Sierra, the anywhere box is going to go away. You'll still be able to, expert users will still be able to figure out how to install an app if they need to. But this is part of the psychology of just not enticing customers to take that option. Apple has this progressive mentality that sort of boil our frog in a good kind of way. they take us through phases. You know, they provide Gatekeeper, and then there's these options, and then they sort of boil our frog a little more and get us more astute about security. And Sierra, the anywhere option, will go away. And the reason for this is that I think in some cases there are customers who run across something cool, but it's not signed, and it's maybe a questionable app, and they say, oh, I'm going to install this for fun. Oh, no, I can't. So I'm going to go in and change it to anywhere option. And then they get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important in this day and age to not take impulsive action on installing something you think is cool. You should have a plan. You should, you know, maybe read a review. You should trust the developer. You know, read their website, size them up. You know, maybe you've had a previous relationship with the developer and you know them and trust them. Or maybe you need to do a little bit of research and talk to people about this new company. You know, every once in a while I get an email from some company that has this new product that fixes up your drive and goes in and reads your drive and defrags it and does all sorts of things. And I go, well, I never heard of this company before. You know, so it's a really risky proposition to just click on anywhere and install something you think is going to be cool.
Sure.
And I think taking away that anywhere option will start easing customers into the mentality of, you know, I really ought to think about trusted developers who digitally sign their apps and the Mac Store. And if you really, really are an experienced user and you have to install something, like last year I did this article that's been really popular about how to install Python 3 mm-hmm. on your Mac, because a lot of students are using Python 3. My wife teaches it. And unfortunately, Apple only provides Python 2.x by default in OS X. And so the developer did not have a certificate signing authority, but they were trusted and well known, and they were the source for the Python IDE. And so we had to go through this process of, you know, forcing it to install. It was okay. Since then, Python 3 installer and IDE have been digitally signed, so that problem goes away.
Sure.
So, right. So one that's of the changes that's coming.
So that will be a back end change that developers are aware of, but also a front end change where end users will see that as well, because if they're getting apps that aren't signed on any level, they aren't going to be able to immediately install those apps. And another place where end users are going to immediately see the change, when macOS Sierra ships, Safari, that's bundled with that version of the operating mm-hmm. system, is going to disable Flash by default should you install it. And it's going to treat Flash as a deprecated plugin. Same thing with Silverlight, same thing with Apple's own QuickTime plugin, which makes sense because you don't need the QuickTime plugin anymore, because all the elements that you need for the multimedia stuff it would handle, that's already there in your system.
Safari 10 will try really hard to force HTML5 by the way it's designed. Mm-hmm. And those sites that have both Flash and HTML5, there'll be a protocol there that will entice the website to deliver the HTML5 alternative. But for those sites that are doofuses and just insist on having Flash only, then there'll be an option to download the latest Flash plugin or whatever plugin you need, and maybe run it just once or run it every time. It'll be a dialog box. And so if there's really something you really have to look at and you just do a one-time Flash and you trust the site, then you'll still be able to click on it. But my prediction is I went on a Liminal article yesterday and I predicted that in the next version of OS 10, let's call it OS 10.13 Mojave or something like that.
Okay.
You won't even be able to run Flash. It just won't run.
Well, we're seeing that trend with other web browsers. Chrome has already Google has already laid out the path for Chrome so that people know when it's going to stop supporting Flash. Mm. Firefox, we have the same thing. Apple is clearly moving down that path.
Yeah.
And keep in mind that even Adobe has acknowledged that Flash's days are over as a web multimedia platform. Adobe still has some other uses for Flash on the developer side, and then the content that you're creating in Flash gets exported to like HTML5 or embedded apps, things like that. So Flash from the developer side isn't necessarily dead. Flash from the end user side is dead.
The way I think of it is Apple boils our security frog gently in white wine and garlic.
Yeah, well, they didn't boil Flash gently in white wine and garlic.
Well, I mean, you know, it's we're seeing the progression, you know, and people have to have time to respond to these. Although, you know, some sites just really insist on Flash.
Yeah, well, with Adobe telling developers, don't use this for web design, you'd think they would catch on. But really what ends up happening is you get these companies that won't address the Flash issue until it becomes a financial burden for them, meaning they're losing money because they can't get their customers or viewers in anymore because no one has Flash. And when that happens, then you'll see more of these sites change.
Yeah. The other item I mentioned in the article was that as we saw in the WWDC keynote, for those people who have an Apple Watch, they'll be able to log onto their Macs transparently. You just sit down, and from the demo I saw, it's a proximity thing, although there may have been details left out. But mm-hmm. It looks like if you get close enough to your Mac within Bluetooth range, it'll securely log you on. That'll be nice. And then we've seen very reliable rumors from KGI security analyst Ming Chi Kuo, if I pronounced that right.
Yeah, it's Ming.
Okay. That we're going to see a Touch ID on the new MacBook Pros. And so you'll be able to log on to your MacBook Pro with a fingerprint, just like you do with your iPhone.
Yes, and I am impatiently holding out for that new MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be a fun device. It's going to have Thunderbolt 3, mm-hmm. several USB-C ports, a OLED the programmable strip, Touch ID. Oh yeah, it's going to be an awesome computer.
I'm looking forward to trying it out. And when I say try it out, I mean buy it and use it every single day.
I finished the article yesterday with a sort of a theme and a warning, and was my perception, and it was sort of a bit of editorializing, but I think it's safe to say that we're going to see stronger and stronger efforts on the Mac side, because it is the one with the weaker sibling of the iOS partners. And because of the increased security awareness, not that Apple hasn't been doing good security stuff all along, but I think events of 2016 are going to result in Apple being more aggressive. And so we should be looking for a little bit more in the way of locking down macOS in the future and putting it on even ground with our iPhones. And that may cause a little bit of pain, but if there's one company that knows how to do it brilliantly and transparently and take the annoyance out of it, it's Apple. But there will be some bumps.
I'm expecting some bumps, but I think in the end we're going to have a much more robust, a much more secure operating system on our Macs, and I'm totally looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
And we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. It was great.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that you took the time to dive into all of this technical stuff around security for macOS Sierra so that we could fill in all our listeners. And let's see, who was our sponsor? Atlassian. Thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, atlassian.com. That's atlassian.com. And check out their apps. That would be Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.